Hello and welcome. This is The Art of Imagination with Tess from Jagged Edge Arts. Today I'll be speaking with actor-director Sean Evan, who's done tremendous work over the years in Welsh and Welsh-English bilingual media. He's given incredible performances both on stage and on screen, including starring as the tormented antagonist Sean Thomas in season 3 of the crime drama Kryth, aka Hidden, which is one of my personal favorites. And the last few years, he's started doing more work on the other side of the camera, including directing half the episodes of a wonderful drama called Crisis. And he was the sole director for both the family sci-fi show Igledi and the murder mystery series Kledai, aka The One That Got Away, which is a fantastic 6-part thriller available in both Welsh and English. I've included various links in the description, so be sure to check them out. And if you have access to the Welsh versions of any of these shows, I highly recommend them, although the English versions are fantastic as well. The Welsh just gives it a bit more character, and I've been loving exploring all these Welsh language and bilingual productions. So that's something I'm really excited to talk about today and to share with as many other people as I can. So Sean, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me.
Thanks for inviting me.
Like I said, I'm really interested in Welsh productions right now in particular. I saw Kryth a while back, and I didn't know that they were making big crime dramas in this language, and it was so cool to find that out. So I'm really interested in the bilingual aspect, and I was wondering what your background is with the language. I mean, you started acting fairly young, is that right?
Yeah, so first of all, my first language is Welsh.
Oh, great.
So I couldn't really speak English until I was about 7, to be honest. I was brought up in rural southwest Wales in Carmarthenshire, where the language of the household was Welsh, the language of the community was Welsh, the school, the doctors, the bank, you know, anywhere you went, you could basically live your life in Welsh back then anyway. And so I think there's a culture here in Wales, especially with the Welsh language, of performing. We've got a thing called the Eisteddfod. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's like a cultural festival that happens annually where people compete in different things like singing, acting, recital, dance, art. It's a cultural festival celebrating the Welsh language and the Welsh culture. So I was part of that world when I was growing up, as many Welsh speakers are, especially if you find enjoyment in performing. I think it's kind of the route, the avenue. If you speak to, you know, a lot of my colleagues and peers and stuff, I'm sure a lot of the people would say that they've been brought up in the culture of Eisteddfod.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I caught the bug quite early, and I started professionally acting when I was about 17 years old. I had a part on a series called Con Passionata, which was on S4C about a choir, a male voice choir set in the Towy Valley where I was from. So I had a role on that series. And then I went off to drama school. I trained at the Royal Welsh College here in Cardiff, and then gone into directing in the last 5 years, which was quite a natural shift for me. But in terms of working in Welsh and as an artist expressing myself and telling stories in Welsh, it's always felt very instinctive and natural, and it's always felt right for me to do it in my mother tongue, you know. And we're very lucky, we're really lucky, I think, in Wales that we have the opportunity through the National Theatre Company, through various other theatre companies we have in Wales, and through S4C and BBC Wales and ITV Wales. We are allowed, and we have the parameters to work in our mother tongue, which is still a minority language. So, yeah, I feel quite honoured to be able to make a career and work predominantly in my mother tongue.
That's fantastic. I'm all for these languages being not only preserved, but boosted, you know, and it's, yeah. I've been trying to learn, and I've been picking up so much just from watching these shows, and then I've been taking up some self lessons on, like, say something in Welsh and sites like that. So
sure.
It's been a really cool experience to dive into that, and also to see other people who either aren't Welsh or have Welsh ancestry but are maybe like a generation or two removed, who have been seeing these shows and getting into them and using that as inspiration to then start learning Welsh and encouraging it to be spoken elsewhere, which is amazing.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And S4C, the Welsh language broadcaster, was formed in the 80s.
That's right,
It
yeah.
was established in order to preserve and promote and develop the language as a thriving, living language. That's the whole reason it came into being, you know, and it's publicly funded. The funding models have changed over the years. It's now predominantly funded through the license fee that we have here in the UK, the British model of public service broadcasting. And it's always good, I think, as artists, as people that are lucky enough to have work and make a living, to remind ourselves of why, you know, it exists. It's there to promote, and it's there to tell stories and to entertain, of course. And if that is internationally, then that's even better. Do you know what I mean? But it's there to promote and develop and save the language, right? Save a minority language, which was very much in need of saving back in the early, well, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yeah, I actually speak Irish Gaelic and a bit of Scottish Gaelic as well, and you just don't hear it very much. And I think it's very, very interesting that given the success of these Welsh shows lately in the international market, I don't think 10 years ago or so you would have seen a bilingual Welsh English drama on Amazon or other streaming sites like that. And now there's so many of them. And Scotland and Ireland now seem to be kind of picking up on that. And we've seen a couple of Gaelic language shows as well, which obviously they have a bit more of an uphill battle because it is less used. They don't have the kind of work being done there that Wales does. But I think it's great that it seems to be inspiring others to pick up on these languages and do more with them on a bigger stage.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at what Ireland and the Gaelic language drama industry are creating and producing at the minute, and I think it's something that we in Wales can look at and look at the amount of funding that they're getting to create really high-end, ambitious shows in the Gaelic language. I think it's something that we should really look at and strive to emulate, you know, and copy, because I think there's some great stuff coming out of Ireland at the minute in Irish, which is lovely to see.
Yeah, I hope it continues because the streaming industry has really changed how shows are accessed, and especially non-English shows are accessed internationally, which is such a wonderful development. But it seems that just in recent years in particular, it's really picking up languages that are even less likely. I mean, you had Dark, great show, really kicked off, I think, a big interest in non-English productions. And I know that Netflix picked up the first all Welsh language show, Dolly Mecht.
Dalamest,
Okay. All right. So I apologize for any butchering of your
That
beautiful language.
was great.
But that's a first, I think, just to pick up a show like that all in Welsh. And I think it's so great for the preservation of these languages.
Absolutely.
So was Hinterland the first show to do this simultaneous English Welsh production and then releasing the same show in two different languages, or?
I mean, yeah, there were shows that did it previously. I think you can go back to the 90s where they produced a series. Again, it was a crime drama. We
That's
keep
great.
making these crime dramas. Even back then, it was called A Mind to Kill, and I think in Welsh it was called Yr Heliwr with Philip Maddock. And so that was an early example of a back-to-back model of producing. But you're right, I think Hinterland definitely rekindled something in the industry and in our confidence as a nation to export things and to promote things internationally. And I think the success of Hinterland has had huge impact on the Welsh language industry, without a doubt. It's something that you can definitely mark as a shift, as a gear change. And you know, like, if truth be told, I think there is a little bit of frustration here in Wales amongst the artists and the people on the ground making these productions, because I think ultimately the back-to-back model is quite laborious, and it can get really hard to create, because you're ultimately creating two bodies of work. I mean, I could go into the nitty-gritty and the logistics and of shooting.
Dude, I've been on exhausting film sets all hours of the night, and that was in one language. I can't even imagine trying to juggle two languages at the same time. I get it.
You know, so I think there is a frustration, and often it's something that you hear on the ground here. Like, why don't we just do it in one language? Why can't we just do a bilingual version that's just, we do it once as opposed to shooting everything twice? And that is co constantly being asked. And I do think that it is ultimately a funding thing, because we still rely on the back-to-back model in order to get enough money to produce these things. And I think, you know, the budget budgets are getting tighter and tighter, and the cost of production are getting higher and higher, and it's really hard. I think the industry in general, across all languages, in America and the UK, across the world, I think the industry is tightening a bit. I think everyone's a bit more reluctant to commission ambitious shows. The high-end shows are getting less and less, and the trickle-down effect of that is felt across the board, even in the Welsh industry. But I think ultimately we've got to do things back to back to get enough funding to get the production up and running, to create big, bold stuff that require a bigger budget, But I do hope, and I think we've started doing it, but my hope is to be in a position in the future where we do create just Welsh language stuff or bilingual work, but it's one body of work, and that is exported around the world, because I think we do produce a lot of bilingual stuff. The Welsh version goes on S4C here in Wales, and then that is often picked up around the world, but it's predominantly the English version that gets sold. So although there might be a little bit of Welsh in that English hybrid version that's sold internationally, it's not the Welsh version that gets exported, it's the English version. So I do hope in future that, like you mentioned, Netflix picking that up, and the dream is that we can be as ambitious and bold as the Irish are doing with their stuff, and just creating work that's just in Welsh and selling it and that being well received. Because as you said previously, I think audiences around the world are so used to foreign language dramas and content. I think we're very used to accessing those works by reading subtitles these days.
For sure.
So hopefully the Welsh industry can benefit from that,
Yeah, I hope so. I think in most cases,
Yeah.
something like Hinterland or Cledae, the versions were pretty separate. You had an English version and you had a Welsh version.
Yeah.
What I loved about Craith is that that was a really interesting way to use the bilingual aspect, because you had really about half the characters speaking Welsh and half speaking English, and then they would kind of merged when they interacted, and it was really well handled in that case. But I think in most cases it is, you'd know better than me, but it is pretty separate. And I think it would be very cool to see, like you said, just all Welsh or predominantly Welsh versions being the main version, the only version that then goes out and that people can enjoy.
Yeah.
So I would hope that the trend continues, and because it is something special and it adds something.
Yeah, it definitely adds something. And I think they are different. I think the English versions and the Welsh, although they're the exact same story, I genuinely think you approach a character, if you need to meticulously prepare and know where that character sits in the world, what the character's context is in the world, how they view the world and how the world views them and how they integrate into society. That meticulous prep that you need to do as an actor, if that character has the ability to speak Welsh in any part of Wales, then how they relate to the world will be different
That's
to
right.
me. So I think the linguistic element, the linguistic politics of it all, I think it does affect your character. And like my character in Craith, for example, people kept asking me, what was it like doing the two versions and stuff? And I was like, you're creating two different characters. You are, because I express myself differently when I'm speaking in Welsh. I do. I think every Welsh speaker or every bilingual person will tell you that you are slightly different in both languages. And I think that's so interesting. I think you just approach the two characters differently. Or even if you're not intending to, it just subconsciously it becomes different. Because I haven't seen Craith in a while now, but I remember when the Welsh version came out, I remember watching the English version and feeling completely different about it. Those beats and moments in it where I was like, God, that reaction was completely different in Welsh. And being a director now, I think it's really interesting when you're in the cutting room, when you have two versions of a scene, and especially when it comes to like the emotional scenes and the actor, if you've got a good actor, which we were very lucky on the
You
one
guys have great actors, I
we
think.
do we do we've got, again, I think it does come back to the history of performing and the training that you get. From a young age, you're encouraged to perform, and I do think it's something to do with that, because we are such a small nation, but we do have a really high amount of very talented actors, which we're very lucky to have. But yeah, it's like, you've got a really good actor, and they give you a completely honest and guttural and visceral performance, and then you've got to do it again, of course. Like the nature of filming is that you've got to repeat and repeat, right? But it's just, it's an organic ever-changing experience if when you're performing, and sometimes you give something on the English take or the Welsh take, and then you've got to do it again, and you're saying it in a different language, maybe a second language, and it comes out differently, and it makes you feel different. Do you mean there's no sort of carbon copy of two versions.
Right.
Every moment, every beat is different. And I think that's really interesting as well. Although the story is the same, and we try in the edit to keep it as close as possible in terms of the cut, but I always go for performance, so the cut is performance led. So it will be different if you're watching it in Welsh and English.
Yeah, I actually, even though I watched season three of Craith in Welsh, I just out of curiosity, I did go because I have the English version as well. And I did go and I looked at a few scenes, and there was one where you're the other Sean, your character Sean, was yelling at someone. And there was such a clear difference to me just watching it between the Welsh version and the English version, in the way you performed that scene.
Yeah, interesting.
And it's not necessarily huge, but it does change things about it changes the tone, which I thought was really interesting. And I have to say, I've rarely felt so bad for an antagonist. And there's this one part where Caddy's trying to talk him down, and he says, I think the line was, "I'm so tired." And the way you delivered that line, Sean, it shattered my heart into about a million and one pieces. I think I actually let out an audible sob. You performed that whole scene so beautifully, and having those kinds of performances out there for people to see in other countries and showing them, look at what we can do in this language, look at how strong these performances are and how strong these stories are. It's just been such a wonderful experience to see those.
I've got to say, there was no acting required because I was really tired that night. We for some reason they'd scheduled that sequence in the shortest night of the year. It
Oh.
was peak summer, and I think I remember we went to work. We got started shooting at like 10 p.m. and we had to finish at 4 a.m. because the
Oh,
birds were
God.
singing and
Yeah.
the sun was coming up. But yeah, it's like. It was a really, really tough shoot, but like such an enjoyable one, you know, and getting to work with incredible Welsh actors. I think there was such heart to the show. I was a fan of the first season and the second, but I think especially with the third, there was something about when I was reading the scripts, there was something about the heart of it, because I think the brother relationship was at the heart of it, which made him so relatable because he was ultimately just trying to survive and fighting for his brother. And the relationship between them two was so strong on page from the get-go. So and also then to be able to work with Justin, who played
Amazing.
my brother. Oh, he's a joy. And being able to work with him was an honor, you know, like getting to know him as well, because we kind of approached the job differently. It was peak COVID. I can't remember when we shot it. It was around 2021. So it was the
Oh,
summer of
wow.
21 or 22. I can't remember anyway. There were COVID restrictions on us. We were getting tested
Oh,
daily.
boy.
We had to socially distance until the beginning of the shoot, and then we kind of bubbled together. So the whole experience was different in that sense. It was amazingly intense because, you know, I lived alone at the time and I hadn't really seen or spoken to anybody, and all of a sudden I was back in work and we were like able to hug and have that lovely, what we call in Wales, a cwtch, a cuddle. So that was great, but there was an intensity to that, you know, that was unlike anything else I'd done because of the situation that we found ourselves in post-COVID, but or in the middle of a pandemic, and navigating the filming world through that was quite tricky. But it brought something to it, definitely. The friendship and the relationship that we formed, Justin and myself, as individuals, as actors, but then as characters, as brothers, I think is a real special thing that'll stay with me for forever, you know, like.
Oh, yeah. It was such a joy to see Justin in that role because it's not common. You really don't generally see people who are living with Down syndrome being given not just acting roles, but serious leading roles, being treated not just as someone to play a stereotyped minor character, but actually being given the same professional respect and responsibility as any other actor on set. And why shouldn't they, right? I mean, but you don't see it often at all. And so I think it's so nice to see very talented actors like Justin being given a chance to show what they can do, because historically the film world has not given people a lot of opportunities to do that.
Absolutely. And Justin is a phenomenal actor. He just happens to be living with Down syndrome, but also he works a lot with Hijinks, which is a company in Wales, and they're Cardiff based, but they've got branches across Wales. And they're an amazing theatre company that work with disabled and neurodiverse actors. And having people from Hijinks in during the process, the filming process, getting to know them, getting to meet them, and knowing how they like to work was in itself a great experience. It was a joy from beginning to end. And I think, and the care, the level of care, and the communication that was required, it stemmed down from the head of production. There was an ambition from the get-go to really involve Hijinks in the process. And once I got on board, there was just a great communication process whereby we could just get to know each other and work as professionally together. But yeah, it was great having them on board from such an early stage.
The result was fantastic because you feel that relationship between the two brothers.
Yeah.
Something that I found really interesting about Kryth was that in both seasons one and two, you've got antagonists who are pretty undeniably villains. I mean, you can empathize with them and see what led to the things they did and what made them who they are. But at the end of the day, you're pretty much okay, go away, get arrested and put away forever. But it was such a change then to come in for the third season and have these two brothers that you feel so much for and really just care about so deeply and feel like it is such a tragedy. And I just thought it was so well done.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
Now, obviously, you've done tons of acting and you've played a lot of great characters, but in the last few years, you've shifted your focus to, it seems, primarily directing. And you've recently come out with two series, totally different. Cledae, you were the only director, right? And you handled both English and Welsh. And then you also did the family show, Igoledi, that coming of age story about a lighthouse with a portal in it. It's a great little show. I really enjoyed that. It's very cozy and fun. That was only in Welsh, right? That one. But do you approach them differently based on genre? I mean, Cleda is such a great edge of your seat murder mystery. I have to tell you, I watched it in Welsh, and then when I was visiting my parents, I watched it again in English with them. And my dad at one point was literally on the edge of the couch, leaning towards the
That's
screen.
so
You
good
know,
to
just
hear.
so, with his eyes wide, just he was so into it. He was so
Oh,
riveted
that's
by what was going
amazing.
on.
That's great.
Amazing
That's
twists and
lovely.
turns. Yeah, you did a phenomenal job with that and everybody involved. Do you approach that differently from something like The Family Show?
I think my method, the logistics of my method, stays the same in terms of like I'd spend a few weeks reading. Because I think everything comes from the script, right? I think everything comes from the text. And you've got to, I think as a director, my method to start off with, I just take a few weeks just to really get to grips with the text, really get to grips with the script, the characters, the world. I think the difference, I mean, I've spoken a lot about budgets today, but like I think the main difference was the budget in terms of the time that I was given to invest in the prep with the kind of the lower budget kids series. Igoledi, I didn't get much time to prepare it, so you've just got to go with your gut feeling. You've got to make quick decisions. But ultimately, I approached the text in the same way as I did with Clever, the one that got away. I did really fine detail prep work on the text, and then you move on to how you'd start building the world. And that's the great thing about having authorship of the whole series, is that you can literally get your teeth into what this world is. And working with the designer, getting the HODs on board early, and then starting work with the designer, the costume designer, the DOP, the location manager. So you get all your personnel on board, and then you start building the world with them. And I guess the approach is the same. It's just you're dealing with a different genre, a different budget, but ultimately my prep is the same. It just depends on the length of it. With something like Cleddau, I would get weeks, months of prep to start off with, where you just have a page turn with the writer, with the creators, all the heads of the producing team, all the execs, and myself as the director and the creator and the writer. Everyone's on board, and we know exactly what it is we're dealing with. We know exactly what each scene is dealing with. And then, yeah, it's got kind of building blocks, and when you've got the luxury of that amount of prep, you can literally concentrate on one block one day, and then you move on. Okay, we're going to just build the blocks slowly in prep, and then you're ready to go. You've got your actors on board, you start rehearsals with the actors. Usually I try to have like a week rehearsal with the actors before we start shooting, which is a luxury, but I think it really is a necessity. I really try to fight for my rehearsal with actors, because ultimately, once you're on the floor, there's not a lot of time, especially if you're doing it in both languages. There's not a lot of time to talk about characters if you've got a problem with the script, with the scene, or a specific line. So I like all that chat to happen beforehand. If we iron out all those issues before we get to set, then it means that the day goes, obviously there's things that come up last minute and you've got to adjust and adapt and solve those problems on a daily basis. But I like to have those initial chats with my actors beforehand and also give them a chance to talk to the writer. And, it's the rehearsal week is always a good collaboration and a chance for everyone to connect and be happy with what we've got, and then go in to shoot knowing that we're fully prepared in a sense.
I really do appreciate having enough time to prepare. I think, especially in TV, at least here, things do get very rushed and people are just thrown scripts and then thrown on set and go, 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 you know? And you really don't get a lot of time.
Don't get me wrong, I think that can happen here as well. It does, it does happen all the time. But I think if you can fight for as much prep as possible at the start, then it sets you up for a better or an easier shoot.
No, for sure. How does that then differ from when you are co-directing and you don't have ownership of the entire process, but you have to collaborate with one or two or maybe even more other directors to get the job done? Like, how do you manage to not just coordinate, but keep your own vision, your own style based on the text while still having this consistent tone and narrative and just keeping everything the same?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think when you're like second block director, or when you're coming on to a show that's already established and the tone and the style is already established by another director, I think it is a different role then, in terms of you kind of need to just slot into the style, you need to slot into the tone. But I think what's really good, and it happens, often if you've got great scripts, is that like each episode, you might get like a different sense, a different vibe. If it's like a middle episode in a series, or if it's a closing episode of a season, sometimes there's like little nuggets of freshness in a script, which allows you as a director to take it your own way. But ultimately, I think those conversations, those ideas are ironed out way before you get onto the show, even before you get offered the job, really. I think when it's multi directors, the exec and the producers, they're the constant through the whole series, and it's their job really, the showrunners and the execs, to keep a consistency and make sure that everyone's singing off the same hymn sheet. I think it's really important that their role is that, basically, to make sure that we're all in line and that we're all delivering a similar vision. I think each, as I said, I think each director will bring a different thing to it, but I think a series needs to have its voice, its own voice, and it's the role of an exec and a producer to make sure that we're all on board with that.
Right, you don't want two people coming in with separate styles that make them feel like two different
Yeah,
shows.
no, exactly. I've just recently wrapped on a show where we had three directors, and I was the third director, so I closed the show, and it's very different. And also, having just finished doing a whole series myself, it was strange, like coming on board, and every like a lot of decisions, a lot of the casting decisions had been made already, and the tone had been established, and you just got to complement what's already been established and run with it and develop it if the script warrants that. It just requires a slightly different view to it, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've never been good with sharing, so the creative process. So, as someone who spent so many years acting and then shifted into the more technical side of directing, what do you feel like you brought to it as an actor?
Yeah, I think I'd always wanted to be a director, and I think it's about control, the control of telling a story. And I think I'd been an actor for, a decade or more, and I quickly realized that you don't really have that control as an actor, because you can do anything you want on the day, and it goes into an editing room and the director can just change everything, right? So I think the control of storytelling really appealed to me. I think the best directors always understand your actors, right? And I think as an actor, having that experience, that I hope anyway, just adds to my ability to communicate with actors clearly and consistently about what we need and what I want from a scene. understanding their approach. And I think each actor is different, right? But what I like to do early on is just to kind of work out what sort of actor they are. If I haven't worked with them before, it's really important for me to know what they need from me. A lot of the time, amazing actors won't need anything from their director, or very little. And then also equally, amazing actors need a lot from their director. It doesn't diminish their ability as actors. It's just a different method. It's just a different approach. So I guess having experience as an actor, I knew what I'd need from a director, but I also understood that other actors wouldn't need the same necessarily. So I hope having experience as an actor helps me achieve what we want. I think it helps me just to communicate clearly with the actors that I work with. And also having a great team around me means that the technical side, having a great DOP, director of photography, having a great first AD who looks after my schedule, and I pick people that I know are going to support me and I know who are going to appreciate and understand my vision and that I can collaborate with. I think that's essential. So then it allows me just to, as a director, as an active director, it just allows me to really focus on the actors on set, on the day.
No, that's so important. You have to be with people who, one, understand you and understand what you want and are able to support that independently. I know that recently you directed Stillwaters, is that what it's called? And that's technically it's not really a sequel to Igola, but it's like it uses the same character that Sean Rhys-Williams was playing.
Yes. So it's a second installment, they're calling it, in the Golai story, I guess, although it's a completely different story this time, but it's the same world and it takes Sean's character on from the first series. So we've just locked on that, which was, again, it was great. I was shooting back in West Wales where I'm from, and it was just amazing to be back there with the beautiful scenery that we have. And like there were some days where I was watching the monitor and I couldn't believe that the camera was, what the camera was capturing. It's truly incredible up there, like the scenery. And it was a joy, we had a great cast, a great team. And yeah, it's, I don't know how much I can say about it now, but I think it's
No,
come
of
in.
course not. We don't
It's,
want spoilers.
yeah, no, but it'll be out. I think it'll be out on S4C. The Welsh version will be out on S4C towards the end of this year. And then the English version is on AMC in the States and internationally, I think.
I'll be watching both.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited. I think it's a really clever idea to take a smaller character from the first season, and she was a good character with a lot of potential, so instead of having her start over with a brand new character and universe, to take an existing character and just put her into a whole new story is a great idea. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and it's an investigative, it's an investigation into an incident that happened in the past, and it's about the community, and it's about, and it's political, and it's set in the same community as the first series, but a like there's this only Sian's character that overarchs, that comes into this world, into this second season. So yeah, it's an alternative side to the community. It's exciting.
That's great. I'm looking forward to it. I love all these shows. And S4C mentioned that they have a good lineup of dramas this fall. So I'm assuming that's going to be one of them.
Yeah, there's a lot coming out, which is exciting. A lot of things have kind of been on the shelf for a while, though, so I think yeah, there's a few things coming out soon, which is lovely.
The last thing I wanted to ask was, we were talking about crime shows. There's so many crime shows coming out of Wales. And I got my friend to watch Craith, and she was about halfway through it, and I asked her, "What do you think?" And she was like, "It's great, but it paints a really dark picture of Wales."
It does.
But that got me thinking, with all of the crime shows that are coming out of Wales, if you could act in or direct a series that perhaps showed a more positive, happier side of the country, is there an aspect you would be interested in showing so that people can see it's not all gloom and doom?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I think it taps into like this the darkness that we have in our souls, I think it's like there's an angst and a pain that only Welsh people can feel. But no, in all seriousness, I think, look, just to go back to your point about the, that there is a lot of crime coming out of Wales, the crime dramas.
Crime dramas, not
Crime
just crime.
dramas, yeah, that's I do think that it's a again, it's like because it sells, right? And it's really popular internationally. There are also dark comedies and light dramas being produced as well, but I think the crime drama is sold internationally and exported because it's popular. I would love to direct a dark comedy. I think tonally something that's quite heightened, similar to Predator Brain, I think that they did so well. That sort of tone.
So unique. Absolutely brilliant show. Yeah.
It is so good, and it's like it's so unique and so Welsh, but also European and theatrical. And I think, yeah, something like a dark comedy like that, I'd love to get my teeth into one day. I'm hoping. At the minute, I'm still in the crime drama world, but
Well, that's pretty ubiquitous at the moment. There's just crime drama in the UK in general is pretty popular, so.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the crime genre is so broad, and it does allow you to just, specifically with Cleveye, the one that got away, for me, it was never really about the procedural. Obviously, that's the backdrop to it, and that's the crux of the story. But ultimately, it's about love, and it's about their relationship, and it's about the dynamics between lovers, or ex-lovers kind of having to come back together and face each other for the first time in 12 years, and how that made them feel, and how the family react to that, and how they navigate that. And the writer Kath, it's her line that I steal all the time when I'm doing interviews, but it's a forensic analysis of a love story. It's about how these two people love each other dearly, have had to go their separate ways, but they really want to and should get back together or should not, and the will they, won't they question is asked a lot through the show. And again, I don't want to give any spoilers away, but it's about their friendship, their love story, their pain, and using the crime drama, but it's about way more than that as well. And I think that's the genius of the genre. You can tell any story you want underneath the surface,
I went into it not expecting that number of twists. I thought it was going to be a bit more straightforward, like Crythe. I wasn't expecting all these, oh, that's what's going on. Oh no, that's what's happening. Oh my God.
Exactly. And I think it was really intentional from like, and that came from the script, of having hooks, really good hooks at the end of episodes that kept the audience asking questions and bringing them back. And I think that was our goal from the get-go, was to make sure that those hooks caught, and to make it a bingeable, a watchable show that people would come back to. And I think it's really nice hearing that people are responding to it in that way, and they're watching, that a lot of people are telling me that they're watching it in one or two sittings, which is great. And
Yeah, two
they're
sittings.
enjoying it,
Both Welsh and English.
That's really good. That's really good going. That play.
And on that note, we'll wrap things up here. Sean, thank you so much. I love this whole part of the industry right now. I think is such a great time for Welsh television, especially. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out later this year and just going forward. Like you said, I hope we can get to a point where we're really pushing more of the all Welsh or predominantly Welsh language media for the rest of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. Thanks for the invite.
Good luck with everything you've got coming up next. I can't wait to see it. Once again, I have put a bunch of links in the description, so check them out when you get a chance. If you like crime or drama or crime drama, you don't want to miss these shows. They're really good, a lot of fun. Well, dark. So about as fun as a dark show can be, but entertaining is the word. I definitely recommend them. And with that, we'll say goodbye. Thank you so much for listening to The Art of Imagination, and hopefully we'll see you next time.